As I was singing that song, I was noticing I was making some promises. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Every flying moment, I will try to be a friend to Jesus. And that is indeed the commitment we made when we first became a Christian, is to live for Him every moment of the day. And it's good to be here to sing these songs, to pray unto our Lord, study from His Word. Appreciate so much you being here tonight. I want to talk about this evening why we struggle to pray. Why we struggle to pray. I know I do. I don't know about you, but I find that I have to make my time, make myself to pray. I have to make time to pray. It doesn't just come automatically sometimes. I know that I need to do it. And so I struggle with that. And I understand, according to brethren, that that is a struggle that many brethren do have. There was a church that would survey its members every year at the end of the year, and they would ask, "Where are you struggling? What do you need help with? What would you like us to do more teaching on in the next year?" And without fail, every year, there were those who said that they needed help in their prayer life. They recognized they struggled in their prayer life. And I suggest to you that, isn't that odd? That we struggle to pray? Because if we think about that, the God of heaven has said that all we have to do is just lend our thoughts to Him. It doesn't have to be actual audible words. We just lend our thoughts to Him, make our request, and He hears us and He responds. Always He's there. And then we struggle doing that. I suggest that's an odd thing. And the question then is raised, why? You know, why is it that we struggle? Why is it we have to make ourselves then to do that? You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 34, verses 15 through 18, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." God's ears are open to our cries. All we have to do is to call out to God, and He hears. Verse 17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears." But that's not all. The verse also says, "And delivers them out of all of their troubles." God not only promises us that when you talk to Him, that He will listen, but that He will help us. And so again, I say, isn't it odd that we struggle to pray? You know, you would think that prayer would be a habit that every disciple would enthusiastically embrace. And yet, rather than counting prayer as this wonderful blessing, it becomes one of those things that we have to struggle with. And it shouldn't be that way. It's something that just we do it because that's what the Lord wants us to do, and we recognize our need for Him. Well, I want to talk a bit about why it is that we struggle to pray. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry, so why do we struggle? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, let's talk about some things that we give or we state as maybe reasons why we struggle. Someone might say, "Well, I'm just too busy." And maybe that's what you were thinking when I asked the question earlier, why is it that we struggle to pray? You might say, "Well, I'm so busy. There's so many things going on in my life, it's hard to find time." And it's not that we are just trying to justify ourselves not praying by this. It's not that we're saying, "Well, I just don't have time, so I don't." No, we want to pray. We know we ought to pray. But we understand that this is one of the problems. This is one of the reasons why we struggle. We work at our jobs 40 to 60 hours a week. And then when we get off, if we have kids, we have to transport them from this extracurricular activity to another, to here and there, and all the work that needs to be done around the house. And if we don't have children, we have all of the housework, yard work that needs to be done. And we just think, well, where's the time to pray? What we need in order to have meaningful time with God is, what do we need? Time. If we're going to have meaningful time with God, we've got to have time. And I suggest what we need is solitude. Time just between us and Him. And that's hard, but you know, Jesus found that time. Look with me, and I don't have these passages up. I just got the main points up on the screen. But look with me in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5. And look at verses 15 and 16. It says, however, the report went around concerning Him, that is concerning Jesus, all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And we need to know that Jesus at times would withdraw into the wilderness and pray by Himself. But notice the word often. And so He Himself often withdrew. Now let me ask you, do you think Jesus was busy? Do you think that there was a demand of His time? Of course there was. John, you remember, records that if all the things he did could be recorded, the books couldn't contain all that he did. But he found time to go away and have time, solitude time, with his Father to pray to Him. And so, am I busier than the Lord was? If the Lord could find time, surely I can find time then to pray. But when we say that we're so busy to find to pray, I wonder if that's really the problem. Think about that for a moment. When you get a call that your son has been in an automobile accident and he is being transported by an ambulance to a hospital in St. Louis, and you're having to find accommodations for your other children, you're making phone calls, you pick up some stuff on your trip to St. Louis, and you've got all of this to get there, let me ask you, do you find time to pray? Sure you do. So I'm saying to you that it may not be time. There may be another reason why we struggle to pray. We'll find time when we understand the need for it. So it may be that it's not time, it's really another problem. You know, someone might say, I just don't know what to say in prayer. And I suggest I struggle with that at times. Probably more in public prayers than I do in private. In private, you know, I just say what's on my mind. But I think a lot of people do struggle with what to pray. And I would say especially this is true for the new Christian. If they have come from a non-religious background and they haven't done it before, and now they're called upon to pray to the Lord, there may be some struggle there with, you know, how do I pray? What do I say? And, you know, even Jesus' disciples had that question in Luke 11 and verse 1. You remember His disciples asked Him, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples to pray. And so that is something that we struggle with. But those who have been Christians for some time may also find it difficult to know what to say. And what do we find ourselves doing many times in our prayers? We just say the same things over and over again. We just kind of by rote say these words. And maybe there's just not really the meaning in that, and we just struggle now, okay, you know, how should I pray? Is that okay? Just these same words? Or what should I say? So we do struggle with that. But I'll tell you, though, I'm not sure if that's really the problem. When there's a storm raging outside, moving eastward from the west, the sirens sound. And it has been reported the tornado is on the ground and it's just west of St. James, moving in this direction. And we run to the basement. Let me ask you, do you struggle about what you're going to say during those times? No, we offer our hearts' desire in whatever words then come to pray unto our God. And so again, I say there could be a struggle here, But that may not really be the problem why we struggle to pray in finding the words. Someone might say, well, I feel unworthy. This is an interesting one because it is true, not everyone is worthy in the sense that not everyone has the right to pray to God because not everyone God listens to. The Bible even teaches there are certain ones God will not listen to when they pray. Back in Psalm 34 again, I don't have this up on the board. You remember we read earlier in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. But notice in verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil to cut off the remembrance of them that from the earth. Turn with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Look at verses 16 through 20. Psalm 66, beginning with verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor His mercy from me. He listens to certain ones, others He does not listen to. And then, of course, that familiar passage in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. No, that's not a popular teaching. No, really, what is a popular teaching is that whoever you are, it doesn't matter. If you're in trouble, you just turn your heart to God, and God will hear you and He'll respond. But that's not the case. The Bible teaches that those who turn their ear away from God's law, then their prayer is even an abomination unto Him. But sins is not always the problem with those who have this feeling of unworthiness. Sometimes we as Christians, because we know that we struggle with temptation, sin, we're seeking God's forgiveness. Sometimes we may think, am I worthy even to offer because of things I've done in the past? And we have to then come to the realization and realize, yes, God's forgiven me. And God does not hold that against me. I'm in fellowship with Him, and I have to be reminded of that and know that He does hear my prayers. I am one whom God will listen to. We need to come to realize, though, that we are little in God's eyes, and that may be a reason that some struggle with this, it's because they recognize their littleness toward God, like the psalmist. Look in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. And that may be the thought is, we look at the greatness of God and then we think, who am I that I can then pour my heart out to Him? But look at verses 5 and 6. He says, for you have made Him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned Him with glory and honor. You have made Him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under His feet. In other words, we are special in God's eyes. God has made us in His image. And we need to realize, even though we are little in the eyes of God and He is so great, God does acknowledge us. And He cares for us. We are special in His eyes. And so we need to realize that we can offer our prayers unto Him. While we appreciate our littleness and understand that, we must also appreciate the fact that God wants us to pour our hearts out to Him. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And other passages that talk about pray without ceasing. Continue instant in prayer. God wants us to offer our prayers to Him, to express our heart's desires to Him in times of trouble. But the question is our feeling of unworthiness really our problem? Back several years ago, when Karen was, I forget how old she was, 8, 9, or 10 years old, she went to the eye doctor, as they did about every year, and they would have their eyes checked. The optometrist noticed that there was a bulging optic nerve. And, of course, what that indicates is pressure from the brain, which makes you think of a brain tumor. And so he told Jane immediately take her to a neurologist. I take her there, and so we immediately took her, and they did some x-rays. Now, let me tell you, when that happened, I didn't think in terms of am I worthy to pray. I see my littleness in the eyes of God. I prayed God be with her. And I didn't worry about what I was saying. It was not having trouble to find time. When that happened, I prayed to God. And what they found out was that she had a condition called a pseudo-tumor cerebral. I did not get that settled in my mind before I got up here, so I can't remember the phrase. But it's as though there's a tumor there, but there's not a tumor. And children have that sometimes, and the cure for that is a spinal tap. And she did have a spinal tap and drained some of the spinal fluid, and that reduced the pressure. But there was no tumor there. She had the same problem, I think, a year or two later, and they ordered a spinal tap, and Karen said she did not want that. And so they said, we'll give her some medication, and they did, and the pressure came down. And she hasn't had any problems since, so we are so thankful. But times like that, you just pray. You offer your prayer to God, not really being concerned about those words, about finding time. You just do it. You don't think in turn. You know that God will listen because He has promised, and in that time of need, then you offer that to God. So I really think the problem that we have when we struggle with prayer is this one right here, is that we conclude, I really don't need God today. You know, there's not a storm coming. My child is not in an automobile accident being rushed to St. Louis or has this bulging optic nerve. Things are going fairly well. And so because things are going fairly well, we then conclude that we don't really need Him, and that's the reason that we then struggle. And that hits us hard, doesn't it? Because we know we need God all the time. What do we feel in those moments of crisis? Sick child, approaching storm. Well, we have fear, don't we? We're afraid of what's about to happen. We have a sense of helplessness. I can't do anything about this. I need God's help. And so we turn to God in prayer. And at that time, we have those awful fears and that sense that we can't do anything about it. We just instinctively turn to the One who can, who we know has the power to help us. The problem is that most of us don't live our lives in the middle of a crisis. Most of us don't live every day with the fear that some devastating problem beyond our control is going to destroy our lives. We don't usually worry about whether or not we're going to eat today. Do you? No, I don't. I mean, there's plenty of food. We don't worry about whether or not we're going to sleep tonight. We are blessed to have all our needs supplied and many of our wants. And I'm not saying this is bad in the sense that we have those available to us. We need to come to realize where they came from. We must understand that we have these because of God and His blessing. He has blessed us. And so what do we feel the need to do when we understand that we have these things because of what God has done? We thank Him. We praise Him. And that's another reason we would then find time for prayer, is in order to offer that thanksgiving and that praise and that worship to Him. Not just when we come together on Sunday, but also throughout the day. Because we understand we have them. But I'll tell you what we may be thinking. We have them because I've worked hard. I've worked 40 hours or 60 hours in the week, and all I need to do is go out there and work again the next week, and I'll have those things. And all I need to do is just do these things in order for me to have all of that. And I begin to think is the reason I have them is because of me. It's because of what I've done. And we fail to realize, no, it's because of God. We begin to think we don't need God. We can provide these things for ourselves without Him. Maybe that's the reason we don't pray. We don't offer our thanksgivings to Him. Is that we have begun to think that we really don't need Him. Let me be plain. One of the essential elements of a meaningful prayer habit is a proper sense of how much I need God all the time, every hour. You know, sometimes we sing the song, Abide With Me. The third verse says, I need Thy presence every passing hour. What but Thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like Thyself my guide and stay can be? Through clouds and sunshine, oh, abide with me. Not just through the clouds, but even the sunshine. I need God. Jesus constantly talked to the Father while He was here on the earth. Jesus had a relationship with Him. And we must understand and well establish in our minds that we also have a relationship with God. See, He is our Father as well. And if Jesus needed to pray to God and petition Him, surely we need that. We have that same relationship in the sense that He is our Father. We are His children. We're joint heirs with Christ. And as Jesus then offered prayers unto God, constantly, often did He do that, then surely we see the need to do that as well. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Notice those phrases. Continue earnestly, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, without stopping. Why would we do that? Why would we struggle to do that? Because we have failed to realize our need for God. You see, I need God every day. Just think about that. I need God to battle the devil. We know in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, what does it say? You can quote it. For our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have an enemy that is constantly trying to destroy us. We don't see him. And it's not just the devil, it's his spiritual host of wickedness. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Our battle is against spiritual host of wickedness. We're rulers of this darkness. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against these spiritual beings. And even though we don't see them, we know that they're there. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe the problem is we don't see God. We don't see our enemy. And therefore, everything's going okay. We don't understand how the devil works. We don't understand his deception. We don't understand all the ways in which he tempts us. But he's working. We don't see it sometimes until we actually commit the sin, and then we understand the process by which that happened, and we could trace that back and say, yes, Satan was working all along the way, but we didn't see it. We didn't see his working. We didn't see his deception, how I was listening to him. But he is. He's constantly working to get us to go back into sin. Let me ask you, do I need to pray about that? Do I need God in my life to help me in that struggle, which is a daily struggle? Sure I do. That's the reason I need Him every hour. every moment? What about when I send out my children into this battle? The devil is after my children too. Not just me. He's a real enemy of our children. Do you think we need to pray about that? What about once a month, pray about your children and their battle against Satan? Once a month? No, the battle is every day. And so we see the need there, and we understand that need. Then we pray about that. What about teaching lost souls? The Lord wants us to carry the gospel to every creature. We know what the Lord has said about that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we know that souls matter to God. God gave His Son so that souls might be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus died for everyone. And all of these souls out here that I come in contact with every day, the Lord died for them and wants them to be saved. And He wants us to care about that. And so we desire that they be saved. We really do want lost souls to be saved. Well, one thing that we do in the beginning is to pray about that. That God will open doors of opportunity. That God will then bring this person to the Lord. Is that a need, a daily need, to help us to go out? Also, that He will help those who are not saved, needing salvation, that they will then come to Him. It may be a family member. And understanding that prayer makes a difference. And so we can pray about that. That's something that we can be concerned about. Back in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, after we read earlier in verse 2, where it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Notice what Paul goes on to say in verses 3 and 4. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul knew he needed God's help in his efforts to preach the gospel to the world. And he wanted his brethren, righteous people, praying for him that God would open doors and help him as he would go out and proclaim the Word. I covet your prayers and my preaching. You also pray for yourself. And that's something we can constantly be praying for every day, is the salvation of souls. We got a gospel meeting coming up, preachers coming to preach. And we're hoping that not only the church be edified, but there may be some lost souls who will come and hear the gospel. And that's something that we can pray about, we can care about. And then also, do you make decisions during the day? You know, several decisions have to be made every day about what's right and wrong, about what is more important, about how to handle difficult situations. What's the priority here? What should I do in all of these situations? Well, what do we need? We need God's help. What did James say in James chapter 1 and in verse 5? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We need wisdom. We need God's wisdom as we face these decisions, daily decisions. Do you go and you struggle with these decisions without even thinking about asking God to help? See, it may be that our trouble is we don't see our need for Him. We think we can solve it ourselves. And we can't. We need God's help. And we study His Word, but we also pray that He will help us to make the right decisions in life. Well, we need God every day, every hour. And I'm afraid that at the core of our struggle to pray is a loss of sense of how much we need God. That's the problem. And I hope some things that we've said this evening will help us to realize we need Him every day, every hour of the day. And so we need to continue instant in prayer. And we'll find time when we understand that. And also, as we think about all the good things, that maybe we don't have an imminent crisis here, but we know that God has given us all the things that we do have, and we can praise Him and thank Him for what He has given to us. I want to conclude by reading what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 73, beginning of verse 25. The psalmist says, "Whom have I in heaven but You? and there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Expressing his need for God, his relationship with God. And when we understand that, we'll be, yeah, we might struggle at times, but then these things come to our mind to help us to realize, yes, I need God, and I'm going to find time to pray. Offer my thanksgivings and petition him for what I need. There may be some here this evening who maybe are not in praying relationship with God. It may be you don't have that relationship because you're not in fellowship with him. You are not forgiven of your sins. You're not a Christian. You're not living for Jesus. And that can change. You can be in fellowship with God. You can be his child by coming to him and obeying his gospel. And we encourage you to do that tonight. If you need to do that, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in his name for the remission of sins. If you've become a Christian, but you've fallen away, you're not living for him, then repent. Go to God in prayer. Ask him to forgive you. And then get out there and serve him faithfully. If you want the prayers of the brethren, come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And God's listening. God will forgive you. And God will help you. Our prayer is not that he'll heal you, but he'll also help you as you struggle with whatever temptations that you have. Come, we'll pray, believing that God will listen, that God will respond. He'll act. And he'll help you as you strive to serve him. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.